Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Man, it's good to serve God. Hey, how many of you really, isn't Ben Archer, wasn't he a blast last week? Isn't he a great kid? Man. And the boy batted way out of his league. It just, come on, man, she's a wonderful girl. And now Ben keeps saying she's Mexican. So I asked her, I said, honey, how much of your background is Mexican? She said, I'm Mexican and Italian. I went, man, so where's the other side of that coin, Ben? I'm thinking, come on, son. You know, I mean, so you have something against Mexican? No, of course not. But I mean, come on, man, if you're going to tell the whole truth. But can I tell you that the next generation coming up are not the leaders of tomorrow. They're leading right now. And Ben, I don't know if you're aware of this, if you were here last week and heard him. God's hand and gift is on that young man. That's only the second time he's ever spoken to an adult crowd in his life. I mean, isn't that incredible, the gift on that boy? You realize every Wednesday night, that level of gifting is speaking to your students if you bring them here to Sozo. If you're in middle school, he's speaking. If a middle school student, that's who's speaking to your middle school student. I'm telling you, these are gifted people. And only God knows where these next generation of leaders are going to end up in their life. But God has put it so deeply in my soul to pour into the next generation that I want to do something very intentionally this summer to help accomplish that. And part of it is to give those that are in their 20s, and even if you're in this stage of life where you're maybe not married or married without kids, this will fit you more. But for June, July, and August, the second and the fourth Saturday night of each month, June, July, and August, right after the Saturday night service is over, we're going to ask everybody who's in their 20s to just go out, and they're going to have a hangout. And they're going to go over to where the volleyball courts are, and there's going to be food. I mean, we're going to feed some people. I mean, no, not like manja cake feed. Y'all know what manja cake is? That's cake eaters, non-ethnic people. Non-ethnic people, when they feed you, they give you like a bowl of like this, and everybody takes two. No offense to you manja cakes, but that's why you're skinny. Okay, when ethnic people feed you, you leave doing this. Jesus help me. We're going to have Jesus help you food there, okay? And so the hangout is really important to me and to them. And I'm going to go over every Saturday night and hang out with you. But here's one of the reasons that beats in my heart is that it's going to last from after Saturday night. You can stick around till 1 a.m. It's just going to be a blast over there. They're going to have all kind of stuff you can do. It's going to be a great time just for people in their 20s, even early 30s, just to hang out. You're in college age, up, just go hang out. But I'm going to take about 40, 45 minutes sometime during that time, and there'll be a worship team there, and we're going to worship just a little bit. And here's what I want to teach. Each time we get together, and by teach, I mean to demonstrate where you experience this and you practice this, how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, how to understand the move, the gift, and the operation of the Holy Spirit in a corporate setting, but even more importantly, in your everyday life. And so I want to pour my heart and my life into you. If you have any you want to know anything more about it, all you have to do is text the word hangout to 97,000, and they'll make sure to send you reminders and give you the details of it. Starts next Saturday night, right after the Saturday night service. So I hope to see you there if you're in your 20s. Say, I want to go and I'm 45 years old. Sorry. We got other stuff for you. But nonetheless, and I know that Alyssa mentioned it, but boy, Serve Day's coming up. Remember, the Serve Day is not something you do to throw a bone to someone in need. Serve Day is what you do because that is the definition of a Christian. You serve with your life, beyond your life. If you want to give your kids a gift, mom and dad, listen to me. Getting a great education is a gift. Getting the ability to learn a sport or whatever, that's a gift you can give your child. But can I tell you one thing that will gift your child more than any other thing? If you teach them to give their life away beyond selfishness, that you tell them on a Saturday morning, sweetheart, don't make plans on the 13th. We are going to go serve people in need. And you can say, well, I don't know where I can go. Well, then find a place to go and create your own project. And there's so many opportunities for you. My hope is that well over 1,000 of us that Saturday are dotting the landscape of this region, serving issues, situations, groups, families in need. And we're going to go make a difference. And it's going to have a great impact. And on an ongoing basis, it's the first Saturday of every month, we have Saturday Serve. So there's great opportunities in front of you. And I really pray you take full advantage of that. Today, I want to talk to you about how to access the grace of God. As we were worshiping, I talked to you about about the kingdom of God's grace in your life. Ephesians says it this way, to every one of us that's a child of God, how many of you have made Jesus your Lord? Okay, now here's the thing. He said, Jesus, here's what the Bible said. When Jesus ascended at the ascension, he deposited gifts in his body. And he said to everybody in my body, not some special one here or special one there, every one of you, he said, I have given you a grace deposit according to the measure, now listen to this, of my gift. You have a measure of the grace gifting that was upon the Son of God when he walked the earth. Do you know the privilege that that is as a child of God? Jesus distributed to you a portion of his ministry, which is divine enablement to do for him only what you can do by him and through him. And I would tell you this, that most people live and die, and they never live 1 hour in that grace. Anytime they come to God, all they ever do is try to bring God's grace and power to their problem, their temporary life. You see, when you live in the grace of God, impossibilities become practical. Do you remember Jesus said about God? He said, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. God never looks at a situation and backs up. He never looks at a situation as perplexed like we are. He said, when you put me first and you live in this grace. Now, here's the key. I want to talk to you about three simple things today about accessing the grace of God. See, there's an entrance point into grace. See, grace cannot be earned, but it is not without condition. There is a door, if you will, to access the grace of God. And if you don't know how to walk through that door and walk in the principle that that door is speaking of, you will not access the grace of God in your life. And this amazing power available to you will go unused your whole life. And the grace that God meant to cover every corner of your life, to lift you to the places you never dreamed he could lift you out of, will never happen in your life. And it's all simply because we don't know how to walk through the door. Three things I want to teach you this morning is this. That faith, number one, gives access and free admission to grace. Faith is what gives free access or free admission. Say free admission. How many of you know getting in free is a good thing? The second thing is this. I want to teach you that we are called and show you actually how to walk in the steps of Abraham's faith that gave access to the grace of God in his life. And I'm going to show you that in the Bible. Thirdly, this. I want to show you how faith calls things which do not exist as though they already did. You say, what's that? That's kind of confusing. My hope is it won't be when we're done. So let's start the first one. Faith gives access or free admission to the grace of God. In 2006, we were actually still in our old building over on Freedom Road. And I was sharing one weekend about living for God and God's grace and not being legalistic. And I was kind of making light of it. I said, you know, years ago, Michelle and I were on vacation, and some guy who was very legalistic came up to me when we got back, and he said, I trust you were in the house of God on your vacation on Sunday. And I was like, no, I went to the beach. He said, why'd you do that? Because I'm stupid and I like to irritate people. Truthfully, when we go on vacation, we do look for a great church. I love going to church. And I actually love going to church when I get to eat and don't have to cook. It's a great thing. But actually, we didn't. And I could tell he was like, we should have been in the house of God. So being in the house of God and being in the house of God, two different things. And so the house of God ain't no building. You're the house of God. So I told him I took the house of God to the beach. Doesn't mean going to church isn't important, but you're on vacation. Vacay a little bit, baby. Have some, you know. So anyway. So I was teaching, and I said, for example, hey, next year, the U.S. Open is coming to Oakmont, the men's PGA U.S. Open golf tournament, which is one of, if you're a golf person, you know, it's, man, it's fun. U.S. Open's a big deal. It's one of the four majors, and I've never been to a PGA event in my life. So I was just teasing, and I said, listen, because I just want y'all to know, on Sunday, when the U.S. Open is in Oakmont, if somebody gets me a ticket, says, Pastor John, why don't you come to the Open with me? Steve Moore's preaching. I'm going to the Open, big boys. I'm taking off. I was just teasing, you know. About 2 weeks later, in the mail, I get a letter. The president of the PGA, his wife was visiting her cousin. And she got such a kick out of that, she sent me two all-access passes. Babe, I'm telling you, Faith without hints is dead. I'm telling you. Now listen, I was able to go, and Michelle, bless her heart, she saw that because I wasn't going to take full advantage of it. She said, listen, you're crazy the way you work. Listen to me, because it started on a Tuesday, ended on a Sunday. She said, you're going every day to the practice rounds. I got to go. And I brought somebody with. I never thought going to golf, watching golf, it was so much fun. I was there Tuesday and Wednesday, the practice rounds, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And if there was a tie, they have an 18-hole playoff on Monday. I had a ticket for that too. And that little card, you know, when people saw that card, they thought I was what they call a VIP. I had all access. Faith is your all access pass into the unending grace, power, enablement of God. And if you don't have the ticket, you don't get in. I could have went to the gate at Oakmont and said, I want to come every day. They said, leave. You don't have a ticket. And I want you to first listen to what the scripture says, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that means we've been made righteous before God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means our sin that has caused the gap between God and man has been reconciled. Now listen, through whom? Jesus. We have gained access, and the word in the Greek access actually means admission. We have gained access or admission by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He said, by walking in faith, you gain full access into this grace that's been given to you. It isn't a grace you have to, you say, well, I hope God will give me this grace. You don't have to hope. If you've given your life to Jesus right now on your life, hovering over your life, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who ever lives, who is not in a grave, but ever lives to make intercession for you at the right hand of the Father on high, the scripture said, deposited to you a portion of the grace that was upon him. The Bible said the Spirit of God, the grace of God was upon Jesus without measure when he walked the earth. But when he ascended on high, he took it by a measure and put it on you. And if you don't know how to walk by faith, you will never gain access to that grace. And I would submit to you that most people live and they die as Christians. Listen to me. And I've been pastoring for 25 and a half years. I've been in ministry over 35 years. And I'm telling you with complete candor, most Christians live and die, and never, ever one day step into that grace. They're always wanting God to come over to their problems. And what we ask God for really differs very little from a heathen if they were going to ask God for something. That's not to say that our issues and needs are unimportant to God. But you have to access the grace of God first in the context he gives it to you. And Jesus said, when you do that, then that same faith that accesses the grace of God for the kingdom can access the grace of God for other areas of your life. Secondly, we are told to walk in the steps of faith that Abraham took. Now, if the Bible tells me to follow the steps of Abraham, then God would be unjust if he didn't delineate those steps. How can he expect me to follow steps he doesn't tell me clearly what they are? I'm going to show you what those steps are. And I'm going to show you're actually commanded in the Bible to follow these steps. Let me show it to you. In Romans 4:12, Abraham is not just only the father to the Jews, but to those who are not Jewish, but walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham possessed. We are commanded as believers to follow his steps of faith. Now, I want to take you back to the book of Genesis, where we see the faith of Abraham operating, where the grace of God came upon Abraham to do the impossible. Abraham at this point is 99 years old. His wife is 90. His name at this point is Abram. His wife, Sarah, her name at this point was Sarai. Sarai had never been able to conceive a child in her life. And now she's postmenopausal. It is impossible for her to conceive. The Bible speaks literally that reproductively they were both dead. And yet God is about to tell them, I'm going to give you a child through Sarah. How many of you, look, there are impossible situations. But God, I mean, that's impossible. but they accessed a grace that made the impossible practical. Not only did she conceive a child, she gave birth to one. How about this? And she nursed the baby, the Bible said. And they had a feast, they said, the day when she weaned Isaac or stopped nursing him, they had a feast. So why'd they have a feast? Ask Sarah. That's a miracle. So what's he saying? I want to show you the steps to take to access the impossible for your life. But can I tell you something about the promise God gave Abram and Sarai? Do you think they wanted a child? You better believe they did. They longed to have a child. Abraham, in fact, if you read his story, he laments not having an heir. Laments before God, oh God, that I had an heir. And I guess this servant Eliezer from Damascus, I guess I'll make him my heir. They were brokenhearted. Did they want a child more than anything in the world? But can I tell you that the promise of a child was a kingdom first promise that also blessed them? Because through Isaac would come the seed that would rescue the generations. The Savior of the world would come through this covenant. And through Isaac would come Jesus. You see, Abraham had a kingdom first grace upon his life. And I want you to understand that when you step into this grace, always start with, God, what is the broader eternal purpose and function of my life beyond my own wants, my own needs, even my own sorrow? Can I tell you this? Every trial, every test in my life, as I look back over these many years, and Shelley, we've been married 30 years together, I can see every one of those trials and tests that have come, and they've been difficult, like just for you. You want to know what they tried to stop us doing over and over again? Putting God first in our life. Focusing on his mission and his kingdom. You ever been tempted to say, Lord, I'll get to you, but come on, man, I can barely breathe here. Help me breathe, and then I'll put you first. First means first. First means first. Let me take you to the book of Genesis. Genesis 17. When Abram, say it out loud, Abram. Not a misprint, that's his name. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God, you walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant. I wish I had time to talk about covenant today, but we're gonna. I'll make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. He's saying to him, buddy, you're gonna have a mess of kids. He later says, look up in the stars in the sky. Can you count them, Abraham? You won't be able to count your descendants either. That's impossible. Then Abram fell on his face. Why did he fall on his face? He just told an old man he's going to be a dad with a woman who can never have a child. He fell on his face. And God talked with him and said, now these three words are critically important. As for me, that's the grace side. God said, Abram, this is what I'm going to do. As for me. But God could not do the Abram side. That's why a covenant has two parties. As for me, Abram, behold, my covenant is with you. I'll keep my part. And you shall be, this is my covenant to you, you're going to be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you. What tense is that? Past tense. Is he a father yet? Does he have children yet? Is his wife pregnant yet? What? God, wait a minute. Didn't you really mean to say I'm still going to? No. God didn't say, I call you Abraham and I'm going to make you a father. He said, I call you Abraham for a father of many nations. Listen now, it's already done. I have already made you. How can that be? Here's what I want you to understand about the critical nature of the faith of Abraham. You hear me say over and over again that you, all human beings, Christians and non-Christians, are made in the likeness and the image of God. And the reason Satan works so hard to destroy the image of God in man is because he wants to take the very way God is using man to do what he wants man to do in the earth, and he wants to pervert it. He wants to cripple it. That's why he attacks the very basics of humanity, where people struggle with things in their life And the enemy comes and tries to distort the image of God in man. He does it through a lot of variety of ways. Sexuality, all kind of issues. These are real issues. But it's for one purpose. The enemy wants to distort God's image in the earth. Why? Because the way God works is he speaks and it comes to pass. When God says it, it's done in his mind. So when he said, the word Abraham means father of many nations. So when God said father of many nations, it's done. You're already a father. I call you one now. Now look at verse 15. And God said to Abraham, you'll never see him referred to as Abram again. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but her name shall be Sarah. That means princess. How's that? 90-year-old woman, call her princess. That'll be her name, and I will bless her. I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she'll be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. I want you to get this about the faith you're called to walk in. It is the God kind of faith. Abraham's steps were to mimic the faith of God. In fact, in Mark 11, 22, Jesus said these words, have the God kind of faith. For whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, but will not doubt in his heart, but believe in his heart that the things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. He literally, Jesus, after he cursed a fig tree with his words and it died, he said, boys, the fig tree is nothing. You see that mountain over there? If you could speak the words of God out of your mouth in faith, that mountain would puck itself up and throw itself in the sea. So that's crazy. No, it's not. The word of God made the mountain. The Bible tells us the very worlds were framed by the words of God. The access to grace is the action of faith that I will speak words that agree with what God says about me. And I don't know how old you are, but changing your name at any age would be a task. God did not just say to Abram and Sarai that I'm calling you Abraham and Sarah. He said, I'm commanding you to call yourselves that. So every time he said Sarah, before she had children, he said princess of mother of nations. She said Abraham. She said father of many nations. See, now remember this. Faith does not deny reality. But faith is not governed by reality. Faith is governed by the words of God. Let me take you back to the book of Romans. And let's talk about the third part of this. And I want you to understand this, how faith calls things which do not exist as though they already did. Romans 4:16. This is in the context of what we're talking about. And when he talks about the promise in this context, he's actually speaking about receiving righteousness through Jesus. But he's also talking about the promise that Abraham received. Romans 4:16. Therefore, the promise, say it out loud, the promise. The promise is of faith. That means that the access point. That it might be according to grace, meaning a power that you can't conjure or earn. Now here's, listen to this statement. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. What's that mean? He said, you see, if the promise were based on the law, let's go on, let me finish the sentence. That the promise might be sure to all of the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but who also are those who are the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. Most Christians, when they pray, do not pray according to the grace of God, the redemptive final work of Jesus through faith. They try to figure out a way to merit. So I don't know that I do that. If you ever went to God and asked him for something, but stopped and said, well, okay, Lord, I promise this, I won't do this. I'll forgive me and I'll try this. And all you're trying to do is earn it. Here's what he's saying. The promise of God is accessed by faith so that it can be grace or unmerited. It can be a gift for everybody. That way everybody can have it. Let's just be brutally honest here today. Not everybody's intelligent as the other person. Intelligence levels are all over the place in this room. Now, I meet people sometimes, they're so smart, I think, you make me sleepy. That will wear me out. Okay, what about this? There are people in this room that grew up in a marvelous two-parent home and were loved and nurtured and, man, just blessed and paid for stuff and, man. And there are people in this room that grew up without a parent, maybe no parent, maybe were abused. That's not the level playing field, guys. Grace and faith level the playing field, he said. The promise is for everybody. It doesn't matter who birthed you, who didn't, who left you, who didn't. He said, because of the grace, my grace is greater than all that stuff. And when you access it through faith, it will take you to the impossible. Everybody has impossible. Some of us have a little bit more given to us than others. And if you're one of those people, I promise you in life, you've had this thought, man, life's just not fair. You're right, life isn't fair, but God's grace is more than sufficient. But it takes a decision to access that grace through faith. And let me tell you, this is where humility comes in, because everything in your senses will scream at you to be governed by what you feel. That's why again and again in Scripture we're told, walk by faith, not by your senses. Now remember this, faith does not deny reality. That's a mind science religion. That's like Christian science. Christian science is neither Christian nor science. Y'all remember Grape Nuts? It was a cereal. It was like little rocks. No, you poured out in the bowl and it went, and they were like these little rocks. They called them Grape Nuts. They weren't nuts or grapes. They were like little rocks. It is critically important that you learn to take the choice to have access to the grace of God through faith. Now let's, verse 17, let's show you how God did it and how he commanded Abraham to do it. Let me show you how to practically walk these steps out for yourself. Verse 17, now he's explaining what we just read in Exodus. As it is written, or this is what God said to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. Stop. When did God say that? Before or after kids? Before. Before or after anything physically changed? Before. I have made you a father of many nations. Abraham, in the presence of the God whom he believed, the God who does two things. This is the modus operandi of God. This is what God does when you walk in his grace. He does two things. The God who makes alive dead things, and the God who calls things which do not exist as though they already do. Those are the two things a person governed by faith will believe. It is impossible, the scripture said, to please God without faith. For he that comes to God must believe, not optional, must believe that God is who he says he is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. How do I diligently seek him? I access his grace through faith. So how do I actually walk that out? Let's go on reading. This is where the humility and faith come into the very real issues of our everyday life. Speaking of Abraham, it said, now this, who contrary to hope, in hope he believed. What's that mean? One translation said, all human reasons for Abraham and Sarah to become parents was gone. Have you ever been in life when all hope for any human capacity and reason is gone? If you haven't, God bless you, but I promise you, you live long enough, life will bring you there. It said, and who contrary to hope, in hope he believed, so that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your seed be. So he believed according to what God said. And verse 19 said, and not being weak in faith. Say it out loud, weak in faith. Now, if you can be weak in faith, you can be strong in faith. So let's define what the Bible says weak faith is. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was 100 years old, and he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced or persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. Now listen, he believed according to what was spoken. Here's what the Bible defines weak faith. Weak faith is simply what you choose to consider. Now, if anybody had something to consider, two people that are reproductively dead, going to have a baby, that's a consideration. Now, you know God did not change either of their name to mean we're not old. God never denied reality. Faith does not deny reality. It takes you to a higher realm of reality. Every circumstance in your life is temporary. God is eternal. His grace will do the impossible. It makes the impossible practical. And the Bible said Abraham was not weak in faith. And so how did he walk that out? Every time he said Sarah, every time she said Abraham, it was an act of humility. Try to change your name right now. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. And then try to get everyone else to call you that other name. Abram, no, call me Abraham. Father of many nations, dude, really? Hey, Abraham's losing it, guys. The old man losing it, he called himself a father. How about this? Sarai, no, call me princess. Man, they're both losing it. Here's the walk of faith that Abraham took. It wasn't that he walked around with some kind of religious weirdness, quoting scriptures to people he didn't know. He spoke and acted and thought in concert with what God said and refused to consider anything else. And he humbled himself and said, let God be true and every man a liar. You're fully able to do the impossible for me. So every day of the world, he began to say, I'm a father of many nations. Right now. Not I'm going to be. I am right now, according to what God says. Sarah, called her princess. Mama is what he's saying. She's calling him daddy, and they have no kids. And in the very short time they had accessed the grace of God through faith, she conceives a child. The impossible happened. The impossible. In your everyday life, this is how it works. The walk in the steps of faith that Abraham walked in. God, what do you say about me? What do you say about my marriage? What do you say about my kids? What do you say about my finances? What do you say about my mind, my thoughts? What do you say about my wellness, my body? Am I agreeing with you? Not in some religious 13-minute thing, but in everyday life. I'm just so stupid. Man, everything I touch turns to dirt. Oh, is that true? Is that really what God says about you? Really? I thought he said you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Then you need to talk like that's true. You need to let only thoughts rest in your mind that agree with that. I'll tell you what, I wish we had as much money as we do month. And every time we pay something off, something else breaks. Well, we finally get to go on a vacation, but you mark it down, someone will get sick. And when they do, they call everyone. I told you they get sick. So, you're just talking about people making up words. No, listen to me. You're made in the likeness and image of God. The reason Satan wants to distort the image of God in man is so that the DNA, the makeup of humanity, is to be in line with their creator, whether they know God or not. And the words that you speak, the scripture said, in your words are life and death. And those that love the words they speak will eat the good fruit of it. He said, the death and life are in the power of your words. Jesus said, every word that men shall speak, every idle word, non-producing word, they'll give an account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned. It is an act of humility when everything in my senses is screaming that I can't be the husband I'm supposed to be because I don't even understand what that looks like. But I bow my knee to my God and I say, I can be the man you called me to be because your grace is upon me to be a husband. I don't care if I've never seen a man do it right in my life. You are my father and you will grace me. These kids, man, they're going to end up in prison. Really? Are those the words you want spoken over those children? Oh, they're just words. Life and death are in the power of those words. Satan wants to seek to destroy the image of God in man, and he wants you to speak in concert with his will for your life. Let me finalize it by saying this. Humility is when I lift nothing above God. Pride is when I lift something above God. An act of pride is when I take what I feel and I let it govern the way I think, the way I speak, and the way I act. That's why the psalmist said this, Father, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of the meditations of my mind and heart be pleasing in your sight. Let me please you with what I let my mind rest on. Do you know worry is called a sin in the Bible? Do you know it's a sin to worry? You have to worry. No, you don't. You could be tempted to worry. You don't have to worry. Can I tell you what worry is? Worry is faith in reverse. Worry is taking your future and projecting the absence of the faithfulness of God. And then acting about it, talking about it, thinking about it, planning for it. Jesus said it this way, take no thought or worry by saying. You want to know how you take it? You begin to talk about it. Yeah, but I said, I need to talk out my worries. No, you don't. No, you don't. You need to realize your worries are trying to make you go the opposite of the steps of faith Abraham was called to take. Do you want to access the grace of God? Then by faith, you access the grace of God. And now you talk about your future with an expectation that he is faithful who promised. I now project through faith, trusting the grace of God in humility, the faithfulness of God in my future, in my marriage, in my home, in my kids, in my finances, in my mind, in my body. Himself took my sickness and carried my disease. Yeah, but I feel bad. Okay, that's real. But I don't have to let it govern the way I think and talk and act. What happens when you access grace? The impossible becomes practical. That's how you walk this out. I want to teach you how to do this in your everyday life, not some weekend fake. Let me quote 5 scriptures today. Do you understand Jesus didn't die so you could just quote a scripture? He died so that scripture could be baked into the way you think, live, and breathe. And you become a God, man, or woman on the earth, a child of God, a son of the living daughter and God, of the living God. In fact, he said, and you go ahead and imitate your father. Let me pray for you today, because this is where humility comes. Are we willing to submit ourselves to what God says? Are you willing to delve into the word of God and find out what he says? That's why we tell you over and over again, we want you to know that this church exists to help you realize God loves you. This church exists so you could know God and find freedom and discover purpose and then make an impact with your life. This is how you do it, by grace through faith, living in humility, and the impossibilities become practical in your life. Let me pray over you today, because if you're like Michelle and I don't know about you, life can come, man, in full force and say, you're done. You're cooked. It's over. That thing's dead for you. And the last thing I'll tell you is this. You be very careful what you have a funeral for when God says, I make alive dead things. But you say, well, that's dead in my life. That's over. It's never dead with God. Don't you let things die that God put in your heart. Steps of faith, Abraham. He said, no, I'm going to say what God says about me, and I expect God to make alive dead things in my life. He said, man, that's a crazy way to live. It's the only way to live. You taste that for a couple months, you'll never go back. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every one of us in this room. Oh, the circumstances of life can be so devastating. They can be so painful. They can be absolutely debilitating to our heart, to our overall well-being. They can literally make us stop wanting to breathe. Lord, I pray for every one of us in this room to understand that your grace is actually made perfect in the very depths of human weakness. I can never live this way how I feel. And Lord, I understand that in this room there's so many different circumstances that are so devastating that they're paralyzing. But today, I pray that each of us make a decision to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that I won't exalt those feelings above what you said. And I say in humility, with maybe everything in my senses screaming it's not true, I say by faith, let God be true and every man a liar. I say by faith, I am not the outcome of the worst things that have happened to me, the worst things I've done. That I say by faith, you said I'm accepted by you, I'm loved by you, I'm completed by you, that nothing is impossible with you. You said that I can have access to your presence. You said the greater one dwells in me. You said I overcome the world through my faith. You said I'm an overcomer, not one that's overcome. I am an overcomer now, no matter what it feels like. And circumstances bow their knees to the grace of my God. Nothing is impossible for me. Nothing is impossible for me. Nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible for me. In Jesus' name, I walk in the steps of faith of my father Abraham. And I expect dead things in my life to come to life. And I call things that do not exist as though they already did, in humility to you, and I access your divine power, and impossibilities melt and become practical in your presence. Father, I pray that you help us to get, the Holy Spirit, I pray the Holy Spirit of our God, You are the teacher. Teach your people in the depths of their soul this revelation so they can change the world in concert with you. In Jesus' wonderful name, Lord, I speak life over them. I speak life over them. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus. If you died today, you drew your final breath of air and that was it. And you went into an eternity. Do you know where you would spend it? You see, there is an eternity on the other side of this life. Jesus said there is a heaven to gain. Jesus said there is a hell to shun. And he said, I am the, not a, but the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes to my Father except through me, because he is the only one who paid the debt for my sin and your sin. So today, if you're not certain that you've ever given your life to Jesus, the one who gave his life for you, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. If you're watching online right now, if you're watching on Facebook Live, right where you're at in your home, wherever you are, you can invite Christ into your heart. He turns no one away. When you invite him into your life, he makes you brand new. Your sin debt is canceled. He makes you a new creation, and you literally become a child of God, holding forth the righteousness of God that's given to you by grace through faith. And you can leave this place with your past gone and a person who's heaven bound. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever done that, or I'm not sure. With every head bowed, every eye closed, right where you're seated, I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer, and we'll all pray the prayer. We will all pray right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just simply raise your hand right now where you're seated, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Right now. Act on it and move into the presence of God. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud with the rest of us. This isn't some dead prayer. This is you making access to the grace of God that's in Christ by faith. And he said, I turn no one away. What an amazing gift. Pray this where you hear it as we pray it with you. Say, Heavenly Father. Say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away. And I am heaven bound. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.